This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison, and Noel Lim. 9:20 in the morning, Thursday the 17th of June. And before we take a look at some outlook for Malaysia's economy, let's check in very quickly on the KLCI.
It's hovering around 1,574 points this morning, down 0.3%. Year-to-date, down 3.3%. And on a one-year basis, up 3.4%. Lynn, I have no idea what you're laughing about.
If the KLCI had gone to 1,700 over points, I would be like, wow, that's quite a jump. No, it's not. 1,574?
Yes, 1,574.
Okay. Well, while the National Recovery Plan, which was announced on Tuesday evening, identifies concrete indicators for the reopening of the economy, it's also underlined the reality that movement restrictions will be prolonged until the end of the year, which will no doubt have an impact on GDP growth estimates.
The initial projection of 6 to 7.5% by Bank Negara is looking unrealistic. Unrealistically rosy now, and some analysts have revised downwards their GDP forecast following the announcement of MCO 3.0 beginning the 1st of June. So how severe will the economic scarring be, and what interventions should the government make to keep this economy afloat?
For some thoughts this morning, we have on the line with us Firdaus Rosli, Head of Economic Research at Malaysian Rating Corporation Berhad, better known as Mark. Firdaus, thank you so much for joining us today. So earlier this month, Mark had a GDP growth prediction of 5.1%, taking into account the current lockdown. Does this estimate change with the announcement of the National Recovery Plan, which could potentially see sectors of the economy shut down until the fourth quarter?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. In January, we projected that the Malaysian economy would report 5.6% growth this year, but because of the prolonged MCO 2.0, so we had to revise our projection to downwards to 5.1%, as you rightly pointed out. So the assumptions behind that 5.1 projection was the following. One is that there's no strict or nationwide lockdown, and we expect all economic sectors to open amid social distancing measures like what we saw in MCO 2.0. secondly, is the global economic recovery, although partially, but led by our major trading partners such as Singapore, China, and the US. And thirdly, because of the positive growth, will likely return in first quarter of this year. So we expect the same thing will go on in the second quarter onwards. But the problem is that because the present MCO or the total lockdown and the National Recovery Plan void our assumptions. So there will be a downward revision to our present forecast. And tentatively, we're looking at somewhere around 3.4 to 3.5%. We will issue a statement by the end of the month.
So, with all that in mind, then Firdaus, how do you think the government can prop up the economy based on the NRP timelines? Because support does seem needed, but what is, I guess, realistic or possible?
Well, it's quite simple, really. It's just to reopen the economy. That's it. Just like how it was done in first quarter of this year. In fact, I think we think that the reopening of the economy is the quote unquote automatic stabilizers. So no extra checks required. There's no fiscal stimulus required as well. At least not in the near term. We would probably need some kind of a support, fiscal support, to pop up the economy later. But just to put everything in order, just reopen the economy. That's it.
Well, there are more calls from industry players for the government to provide more aid and stimulus. Does the government have the fiscal headroom to do this, or have the taps run dry?
You see, the thing is, we believe that the government has already breached the statutory debt ceiling of 60% in the first quarter of this year. So this because of the numerator has expanded where the denominator has shrunk. So there is little that we can do right now apart from raising the debt ceiling. Now, we have to also take into account there are many other moving parts as this were to develop. Like our fiscal deficit target would have to be revised, as you rightly pointed out, the GDP forecast for this year as well. So, there's as far as headroom is concerned, it's not much that we can do apart from raising the debt ceiling and provide the kind of stimulus with the view that the National Recovery Plan will take a much longer time period rather than what we anticipated earlier. But the thing is, all is not lost, despite that we need to raise the debt ceiling. We think that we are not the only country who's experiencing a narrower fiscal headroom. So there are, you know, the regional countries are also affected. I mean, it's a global pandemic. So we have to look at the similarly rated peers and assess where our credit strength is. Right now, we are somewhat higher at the median point of our rated peers. So there is some rating pressure down there, downward pressure down right there. But I can't speak on behalf of the big three, but I suspect that we are doing somewhat okay. But right now, the right thing to do for the government is just to focus on our group rates.
So does all of this change your view with regards to the OPR rate? Do you think Bank Negara is going to be cutting from the current 1.75%?
Unlikely. Not this year, at least. Well, it depends on how the pandemic pans out next year. But judging from, you know, recent news about new variants of the virus, et cetera. So this is, you know, the pandemic might take a much longer time than we expected. So we expect the OPR to remain, Bank Negara to hold the rate steady, unless there's a major supply shock as things were to develop. Right now, Brent oil is trending about 74, I think, US dollar per barrel. It has been inching upwards quite a bit. But even so, the impact of lockdown will probably mask the impact of such shock. So I don't really see the need for Bank Negara to move as far as rate consideration.
Firdaus, let's wrap up this conversation with a look forward. Budget 2022 and the 12th Malaysia Plan, do you have a wish list for these two things? We've got about a minute and a half left.
To be honest, I don't know whether it will be tabled, debated and passed like in 2020. Just time will tell. Because, you know, with the fact that the parliament is still, it's not going to be in session until at least September. So, but you know what? I understand that there is a complexity in formulating a long-term plan right now, since you mentioned about the 12th Malaysia Plan. It was supposed to be unveiled last year, but it has been postponed to February this year, and now we don't really know where things go. But, you know, with not only the 12th Malaysia Plan that has to be unveiled, but also how do we fare in the 11th Malaysia Plan? We need a report card. We need to know whether we did the right thing or not, you know, following the change of government in 2018. So perhaps the right thing to do is to have a slightly longer horizon, work backwards, and tee up the rakyat for things to come, and address the long-standing issues such as the GST, retirement age, urban economic development, etc. Because these things will happen with or without COVID. And so the motivation here is to not to discount long-term planning as how we do it today.
Firdaus, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Firdaus Rosli, Head of Economic Research at Malaysian Ratings Corporation Berhad, giving us a picture of what we can expect out of Malaysia's economy moving forward. So Mark is going to be further revising downwards expectations for GDP growth. I think Firdaus mentioned 3.4%, 3.5%, even taking into account the low base effect from last year. So something definitely to keep in mind as we move forward. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.